We can start turning to Luke chapter 2 this morning. The first verses that we'll be touching on are in Luke 2. 3 weeks from today, it's coming up fast, is Christmas Day. But we're already in this Christmas season. I'm amazed at how God has changed me over the years. I wasn't raised in church. I really didn't know growing up much about Christmas other than candy canes, Santa Claus, and presents. I admitted a few weeks ago when we were talking about tradition how I was originally a Grinch when it came to Christmas time after I was saved. Once I realized how great and awesome Jesus was, I was rejecting the beauty around the Christmas holiday. I was saying, no, who cares about Christmas? It's all about Easter and the resurrection. I didn't want a tree. I didn't want the stockings. I didn't want the get-togethers. I just wanted it to pass as quick as it could, get Christmas over with, and let's start talking about Easter. I'm just telling the truth and shaming the devil here. That's the way I was. But God's grown me a lot since then. I've embraced the reason for the season, so to speak. I've seen the beauty that there is in it. I was so focused so much on salvation that I was blinded about all the other things that God wants to show us. Around everything that he does, it's all purposeful. I didn't want to talk about Jesus as a baby. I didn't want to look at how God was communicating to his people, how he was fulfilling promises when Jesus came to the earth. I saw Christmas more as a man-made, store-fulfilling holiday. I saw the Black Friday shopping, the presents, and said that couldn't be of God. I saw all the hype and thought that it was all man-made. The last thing I wanted to hear were Christmas carols. But now they seem to be exactly where God has shown me the beauty in the season. How we can learn so much from what people have put to song. You know, last year we had done a little series where we looked at a couple of Christmas carols as we led up to Christmas. And we're going to do the same thing again this year. Whether it's an older song that's a classic or a newer song that's been written since I was born, we can look at those songs and see what God is saying in them. This week, we're going to look at the song, The First Noel. Let's go ahead and listen to that. So this song dates back to 1833. It's nearly 200 years ago, if you're doing the math. So although the author that wrote this is unknown, the origins are known. The song was first sung in Cornwall, which is actually a county in southwestern England. It gives us a little background into why we would have this unusual word of Noel. We hear it, we sing it, but do we even know what it means? The word Noel is actually of French origin. When translated to English, it literally means Christmas. Sometimes it's translated as Christmas season, but more often than not, it's specifically talking about Christmas. It's also a variant of the Latin word nael, N-A-E-L, which is birthday. Certainly puts this whole song into new light, doesn't it? It's always good to know what it is that we're singing. It's good for us to know what we're doing. Our words affect far more than we realize. So we should definitely be in control of what's coming out of our mouths. Saying Noel without knowing what it's saying isn't the way it's meant to be. It's like other songs or phrases or words where we have to look it up to see what they mean. But once you know, it's something that you can do something with. It's either something to get rid of once you know what it means, or it's something to celebrate. It certainly is good to celebrate Noel. It's good to realize and recognize the time that we're living in. to embrace Jesus' birth. So now that we know what Noel means, meaning Christmas, we look at the song with more purpose. The first verse that's there, it says, "The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep, on a cold winter's night that was so deep." Jesus' birth announcement was first to the shepherds. They were out in the fields when the angels appeared. Let's look at that here in Luke 2, starting in verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, good, and on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" This was the long-awaited hope of Israel. Jesus the Messiah had been born. The shepherds were doing what shepherds do. They were out in the fields. They were tending to their flock. It didn't matter what time of the day it was. They were right there going about their business. They were watching to make sure that nothing showed up that was going to hurt the sheep. They were watching to make sure that they stayed safe. But then, I love when there's a but then, the angel of the Lord stood before them. God's glory shone all around them. Not just the angel, but the glory surrounded each one of the shepherds as well. They felt and saw the presence of God. God was returning to his people. His glory was upon them. His glory was being known to the shepherds. Without partiality, God was showing that he was sending his son Jesus to everyone, no matter of their social status. Shepherds were not popular people. Their occupation was not a noble one. They were some of the least accepted people in their society. So God, in his own style, he says that is exactly who he's coming for. It's an upside-down kingdom that we're in, where the first will be last and the last will be first. Where God says, "Hey, I love this person just as much as that one." Where it isn't dependent on what they know or who they know. It doesn't matter what their family name is, because he wants to tell them that he loves them personally. The angel appearing was not what the shepherds were expecting. They probably thought that it was going to be like any other night. They were going to settle in. They were going to have another good night doing what they do. So they were kind of startled when the angel appeared. They got scared. But the angel said, "No, no, no. I bring good news. I bring good news and great joy to all people." The joy of the person of Jesus, the chosen one of Israel, the anointed one, the one who's set apart for all time, the one sent for all people, not just for the Jews, but for all mankind. Those who are a part of the seed of Abraham already, or those who will be grafted into the seed of Abraham through Jesus. Both Jews and Gentiles were going to be able to be restored back to God. God wanted to bring all mankind back into relationship with him. These shepherds, They were told of Jesus' birth, and they purposed to see and worship this newborn king. But the shepherds weren't the only ones who the song recognizes that they knew and they embrace Jesus being born. The second verse continues in the song saying, "They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country afar. To seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. The star drew nigh to the northwest. Over Bethlehem it took its rest. And there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay." It continues, "Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense." See, these wise men from the east were told of Jesus' birth as well. They set out to find and worship and honor the King of Kings. That story can be found in Matthew 2, starting in verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are you not the least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the three wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." The wise men came after Jesus was born. It was likely a year or two after Jesus was born that they set out on their journey. But this song captures the heart of the wise men. They came to honor and worship Jesus. They knew that the King of the Jews was born. They saw this star. It lasted and lasted and lasted. It was there guiding them to Jerusalem. Their journey was over 500 miles. And it typically took 4 to 5 months with the way that the roads and the trails were going through the mountains. They found the leader in Jerusalem, the political king Herod. Now, Herod wasn't the rightful king. He was more of a political pawn. He was a compromise from Israel to Rome. His allegiance was to Rome, not to God. He let Rome be the one to make his decisions. He was a king in name only. He wanted to preserve the position that he had with Rome. A part of Herod knew that the true king coming would unseat him at his position. He was troubled. It would alter the course of Israel. It would change the outcome. It would change the landscape. But God honors those who honor God. Herod should have recognized the prophecies regarding the Messiah. He should have seen this coming. He gathered the priests and scribes to find out whether this was true, to find out what it meant, to find out if this was foretold as God usually does. So they found where it was written according to the prophet Micah, saying, out of Bethlehem would come a ruler who would shepherd God's people. And the wise men, they departed, and the star again appeared and led them the rest of their journey to Bethlehem. They were intent on seeing the king they had set out to see. They respected this child that they knew was much more than just a child. My Bible says that when they saw the star again, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They hadn't even seen King Jesus yet, yet they still had great joy. They had a joy in expecting that they knew that this was something that God was lining up and something big that God was going to do through Jesus. Many of you know how Herod, after the wise men did not return to him, how he wanted Jesus killed, how he made sure that there was no doubt commanding the young boys under 2 years old to be killed, how he didn't want to take any chances. But God gave Joseph and Mary instruction to leave and to head to Egypt. God saved Jesus. Not because of Jesus, though, but because of all mankind. God protected Jesus so that he could save all mankind from our sins. The fact that Herod's great greed and pride killed so many innocent children and that Jesus was spared speaks to how much God loves every one of us today. God loves us. That's why he sent Jesus here to the earth. Because he loves each and every one. It's because he loves each and every person that's here. He loves each and every person that's not here. It's because he loves the people who are living contrary to his word right now. It's because he loves the ones that we see as unlovable. Those wise men were celebrating Jesus' coming to earth. They didn't know Joseph or Mary. They were just coming because it had been revealed to them that a king was born. They knew that this was no ordinary star that was being shown to them. They knew that this was the hand of God at work. They were amazed. They knew it was huge. They knew that since this king of the Jews was born, and that this was of God, that they brought gifts. Not just any gifts, but extremely valuable gifts. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. Because this king was worth it. They came to worship him. This should still be our response today. To worship Jesus as king. To worship the one who has came and that desires to reconcile all mankind back to God. Verse 6 finishes up there in the song saying, then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught and with his blood our life hath bought. We should be celebrating the birth of our King. His birth is certainly something worth celebrating. His birth is something to honor. If there was no birth, there could have been no crucifixion. If there was no birth, there would have been no death in the grave. There would be no tomb. Without the death, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no victory over sin in the grave. Jesus gave his blood for us. He bought us with his own very blood. So yes, it's good to recognize Jesus' birth, as long as we recognize the reason that he came to the earth. The shepherds were the only ones who visited Jesus as a baby. The wise men came when he was a toddler. Jesus was only a baby for as long as the rest of us were. Like so many kids, they grow up. They get older. They don't stay small for very long. The other day, Google Photos, like so many other programs that show you pictures from your past, they popped up and show you some pictures and say, on this day, it was 7 years ago, they showed me pictures from, and with the title like, Remember When, yeah, I do remember when. We brought Gracie home from the hospital, and we had snow on the ground, about 6 inches. I remember the day. I couldn't help but remember. We were blessed with the snow. We were blessed with a baby. So to try to help keep the noise down in the house and try to let Ashley and Gracie both get a little bit of rest and some sleep, I also saw some memories I had with Addison that day. We went out sledding down one of the back hills. We made a snowman. And then because that snowman was sure to melt in the next day or two after that, also had memories of how she knocked and basically form-tackled the whole thing over, tore it apart limb by limb. But you can't help but remember when. That's a wonderful thing about Christmas. You get that remember when moment. You get that remember when you recognize the beauty and the joy of the Christmas season. Jesus wants us to think of him all the time. But we can't help but think of him throughout this entire season. The whole thing is surrounded by his goodness. He is there in Christmas if we will look for him. The amount that we see him is up to us, though. I'm glad God changed my outlook on Christmas. I'm glad he pointed out seeing him in the Christmas tree. I'm thrilled that he pointed out seeing this more merely of a snapshot of a memory for what he's done for us. I'm excited that he shows himself throughout all these songs that we sing, particularly around this season. So we do recognize and love Jesus' birth and celebrate his birthday. So when the main repeating phrase of this carol is sung, we can't help but see Jesus in it. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Substitute Noel with Christmas. Christmas, 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 Christmas. Born is the King of Israel. Christmas is celebrating the birth of our King. Jesus was only born once. He was only a baby to start with. But he was born as King. From the beginning, he was King. And he's never stopped being king either. He was king as an infant. He was king as an adolescent. He was a king in his 30s. He is still king today. Whether people want to accept him as king in the natural or not, he is indeed king. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Everlasting has no beginning. It has no end. Jesus was already king before he came to this earth. Jesus told Pontius Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom was not made with human hands. Jesus is Lord over all. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that is impossible for him. He wants us to come to that realization of who he is. He wants us to accept him as King. He wants to be king in our lives. But we have to let him be. That decision is only up to us. He's not silent. He desires to have that relationship with us. We're here to reflect our relationship with him. Jesus is ever present in our lives. And people can see that as we live it out. Thank God that Jesus came to earth. He was born king. And he remains that today. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you for being king in our lives. We thank you that you have things planned out, God. Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is good. Lord, that your birth was good news and great joy for all people. So, Lord, as your word came forth this morning, Lord, let your word be on our lips. Let your name be on our lips. Let your goodness be on our lips. Lord, help us spread the good news of the great joy that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for the relationship that you're establishing with us. Lord, the relationship that you continue to grow within us. Lord, we pray for that relationship to grow amongst others as well. Lord, help them see our joy in you this season. Lord, help us recognize and communicate that to those around us. Lord, draw them by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for who you are, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.